Hello and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shea Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Dennis Prout is an investment advisor representative with Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and opinions given are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their financial needs with a financial professional.
Welcome to New Retirement Radio, on the air with Prout Financial Design. Joining us today, Mr. Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Ron. It's great to be here on Thursday, February 7th, 2019, a breezy, balmy 57 degrees, sun's out.
Oh, sorry,
that's May. Shay is not with us today, not feeling well. Heidi is out at conference at TD Ameritrade and is a part of that. This show is good for us. Us who are at Prout Financial, it holds our feet to the fire. It amazes me. we have to dig to get information, and it's helpful to us, and we hope to our clients. It's just the facts, and it's sometimes I need to be pushed. So I love doing this because it's helpful to us and our clients, and just digging a bit deeper to try to provide this information. So are you saving too much for retirement?
That is a question I bet most people would answer the same way. But I have a feeling you're going to surprise us.
Heck no. I'm way behind the eight ball. If I'm saving too much for retirement, that's my problem. Thank you. I like to save. Well, that's one of the key components. You're just a great saver. You may, however, number one, our first point of the day, you may need less than you think.
Wouldn't that be nice?
You may need less. Well, my Social Security is going to be $1,500 a month. And the wife says, honey, that was a conversation, by the way, yesterday. It's much more than that. It's $2,400 a month. Now, this person's not stupid. He was just underestimating what his retirement income is going to be from Social Security. So, excuse me, do you know what your incomes are going to be? All right. Yeah, well, I'm getting this and this and this. And then what about part-time income? Are you thinking about the big picture in terms of all the different incomes and what they might generate? And then what are your basic expenses? We're going to delve into all of this. And, in fact, I brought the retirement-style workbook, which we use for the financial plan, to give some people perhaps some bigger fish to fry, if you will, about what that could look like. I think many people are rather fatalistic about it. Well, isn't Social Security, and I get it too, by the way,
yeah,
because I tend to be somewhat negative about retirement. Well, you know, do I really want to retire? No, I don't. I love what I do. But for most people, it's having the freedom to make change, like to get out of Michigan, perhaps, for 6 to 8 weeks.
Hello.
Yes. And the freezing rain that was on the windshield this morning.
How was it when you drove in? It's a little 10 after 10 now. Well, it's 13 after 10.
Yes.
On Thursday. How was it on your way in?
Well, the car had been sitting outside for about an hour and a half. About an hour and a half. And it was surprising how much ice was on it.
Really?
Yes.
Ah.
Yes.
Okay.
It was freezing rain, ice.
Answer that question. Can I go back to your important conversation, though? Because I was wondering, Social Security, and I was going to ask, I thought I'd look it up. The estimated average monthly payment for all retired workers, Social Security, $1,461 average.
Average. Hmm. Okay.
So you're going to make somewhere around there, maybe, if you're average.
Well, if you're average. But think about this. It's based on your top 35 years of work. So as you do work longer, those amounts increase, and quite dramatically. If you don't work at all from age 62 to 70, The increase is 8% per year for each year that you wait.
Yeah.
Each year that you wait, it's just 8%. Well, if you're continuing to work and those previous years are dropping off, then obviously then the increase is greater than the 8% per year.
The maximum payment for 2019,
yes.
Maximum Social Security monthly payment, $2,861.
Excellent, Ron. You are a fountain of knowledge here this morning. Muchas gracias.
So longer you wait, the more you make.
So you may need less than you think. Count your eggs, and I also wrote subtract the basic cost. Start with the basics of what your expenses are. Think about that. If you need a budget so that you are looking at all those possibilities when it comes to those expenses, get one.
Yeah.
We can easily provide that. What are the expenses? They could
housing.
Be housing.
Housing.
Vehicles.
Vehicles.
Personal insurance expenses.
Yes.
And regular
food.
Family expenses. Rent. Business expense. Cell phones. Charitable donations. Child care. Support. Clothing. Club dues. Dining. Entertainment. Gifts. All the rest. So, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. In fact, you know, I guess there is some cost for the dentist, too. You know, that might be something that you're thinking about. Well, oh, yeah, just make certain, as much as possible, that you know what those basics are so that you know the initial amount that you need to try to cover. Then what's the balance that I need to try to cover with the savings and or other part-time incomes? What about that second career that I've always wanted? It may be much easier to do this once you have some of that guaranteed income coming in. Maybe it's a pension, a portional pension that you're going to get at 62. Well, should I draw it at 62 or 65?
Does that work the same way as Social Security? If you wait longer on the pension, do you get a higher payment?
It depends on the pension.
Yeah.
Some of them are extremely surprising, the difference that you can make having waited on that pension. Well, how long will I live? Now, here's another big one. Many way underestimate their life expectancy. Is your health good right now? If your health is relatively good, and let's say you're married, that of your spouse, the chances of one of you living to 90 are very high. Mm. So think about that. If you're listening to this radio and you're safely at home and you're in good health, By its very nature, then, your chances of living to 90 are quite high.
Maybe they should have an award for that. If you live to be 90, your costs are covered for the rest of your life. Hmm. Ding, 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 ding.
You know that? That could be interesting. Yeah. Another government program.
There we go.
Could be a possible
another great idea.
Benefit, yes. Medicare for all, Ron. Yeah. There you are. So, retiring. What I wrote, I did a decision matrix. Think about retirement, the good things that you'd like. Start with the end and the want to's. Oh, what would those be? And not necessarily even taking a look at, and I'm going to interrupt myself almost on that, maybe not starting with the expenses. What is it that you really want to do? We'd like to see the grandchildren more. We'd like to get out of here for winter. We'd like to improve our relationships for those who may be somewhat further away. I may want a second career. How important are those things? Score them as to their importance. Grandkids, let's see, that's a 10. That's getting out of here in the winter. For some, that may be a 10 as well. Others may say, I'm staying here, period. I'm here, man. I love it. I've had those say it as well. So then on the negatives, the winter may be the negative enough to where you want to add a score as a negative on that one. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And then compare those in terms of how important are those for me to accomplish and achieve. It's not just about where the stinking stock market is yesterday or the day before. Dennis, you're a bit strong about that. Well, what's amazing about that is, where are you drawing your income from? Does it have to come from a market that's up about 17% from its bottom on 12/24 of 2018? And who predicted that? Did you have anyone coming up on the internet on this Christmas Eve saying, this is the bottom of the stock market, buy right now? No. I didn't see anyone.
I had a lot of people lined up to say, let us explain to you why what happened happened.
Yes.
But nobody predicting the future.
And or others, this is the end of the world.
Yes.
That sort of thing.
So
it's crazy. So obviously the stock market was oversold or over negative. And this response on the upside has been something to watch. The market, as measured by the Dow, basically at 21.7 at its bottom there. Today, in the range of 25,000 as measured by the Dow, rather, about at 25.4. So 3,700 points approximately from the bottom, or about 17%. This momentum is truly something to behold. But are you basing your income on something like this roller coaster? That could be a problem if you have to draw income from it.
How do you look at the market? Well, I'm looking at Dow Jones, but I'm assuming yes. S&P might be similar.
It is similar in a lot of respects. Tends to be more accurate, but yes.
Where it is today, it's roughly 26.7. It was there Christmas of 2017. So for the last year and a month, last 13 to 14 months, the market's been up and down, but we're essentially where we were Christmas of 2017. So how do you look at that? Do you say, I haven't earned any money, or did I lose money? Or, I mean, if you look at it in that context.
Well, if you look at it in that context, and indeed, I don't have that screen in front of me, so I can't see it to
let me get that.
Verify.
There we go. That's just
it. Yeah, you're looking at November of 17, yeah, and it's 25.78 at that point.
So,
and, yeah, 27.12 today.
It went way up, and it peaked, and then it came down, as you said, and it dropped what was December of last year, a couple months ago.
Well, that's the point, is that it's extremely difficult to draw an income from something that is a roller coaster. That's called the sequence of returns. And if you're having to draw from that same roller coaster, it decimates the ability of your portfolio to get a return if you're having to draw from something that is that volatile. So for those incomes that are the best to draw from, Social Security, even though in 2034, 2035, under current assumptions, the income amounts are going to be about 75%, still one of the better sources of income. Number two, your pension. How well is it funded? How secure is it? That is one of the discussions to think about, one of the things to think about. Three, even part-time income. Is it valid between one or both of you? And then what are your total incomes and expenses that are relatively guaranteed? And then what do you need to draw? Now, those, we're finding that those with higher incomes have more flexibility for inflation adjustments. Inflation adjustment has been one of the major concerns for retirees. And given the studies that we're seeing, those with higher incomes obviously have more room to adjust. Those with lower incomes, say in the $25,000 to $30,000 range, have much less room to make those adjustments. So in some cases, those with larger income amounts, those with larger portfolios, have more room to adjust. And they may have discounted, those same people may have discounted their ability to retire and discounted perhaps too much because they can be flexible in those expenses. And it's important to keep that in mind.
By the way, one just important point. I was looking at S&P 500, not Dow, when we were looking at that.
Right.
They're similar. That's 2714. The Dow is like 25,000. But anyway, I just want to clarify. If people were listening, that was the S&P 500 we were just chatting about momentarily.
Yes, we're moving back and forth between the two. And S&P valued at about the tenth of the Dow in numbers, rather. So who are the happiest people at retirement? And these are my own observations, an adjunct to the article itself. Number one, I wrote those with the next chapter. What is it? What would that mean? Have you determined what that might be? Mm. Whether it's a hobby that you really want to pursue, you couldn't wait to pursue. For my father, it was bookkeeping. I mean, it's not exactly exciting to most of the listening audience, but he couldn't wait to do that. He loved it. Every day, he had this huge ledger that he would do for the township and the fire department. He just enjoyed the heck out of it. So that was one significant enjoyment for him. Two, are you mindful? They're mindful of their pocketbook. They understand intuitively, and some have written it down rather specifically. They're mindful of it. They know where they're at. Three, they tend to be intentional. They tend to be intentional. What does that mean? They get out of here. They go. They do. So a couple I sat with the other day, they love to read. They both sit and read a lot. And they went on and on about the books that they're reading. And it was fun listening to them. Mm-hmm. They love it. So they've benefited tremendously from that, and it's a great thing they enjoy together.
So don't look at retirement as an end. It's a new beginning.
Yes.
Yes.
In doing, perhaps, the things that you wouldn't have allowed yourself to do otherwise. Dear, let's go, motorcycle racing or whatever it might be.
You might have less money, but you have more time.
Yes.
Yes.
And given that more time, it doesn't have to be riding a rocket ship to the stars that you need. It's what are those things that give us most enjoyment? Four, they tend to be relational. I wrote the word fellowship here. They tend to move toward friends. And when things aren't going well, that's a key component. We all need others to lean on when things aren't working quite the way we might have wanted, whether it's health-related or whatever it might be, whether it's our own children. If we have people to lean on and tell about, that is, we are not a port in a storm when it comes to relationships, if I may preach that, because I've seen it in my own life as well. And five, in my own relatively quick list here, life gets bigger. Life gets bigger. For them, they tend to have expanding horizons. The people that come back lit up from having traveled or done those special things, it's usually about activities. It's not about buying something. It's not about the motorhome that stretches to the stars. It's about the experience that they had when they were there or the crisis that occurred when they were broke down by the highway. So whatever it was, life gets bigger for them. I think a good example for that in the money side might be a Warren Buffett. Life seems to get bigger for him all the time. He is good friends with Ndamukong Suh or whatever his name is.
Ndamukong Suh.
Ndamukong Suh.
Yeah, geez, that's a weird friendship.
I thought it was fantastic. I thought, well, you know, that's one out of left field. Hadn't thought that would come up.
So if you think, there's my day, I'm going to quit my job, I'm retired, and I'm just going to go home and sit down and do nothing, that is probably not a path to fulfillment and happiness.
It is not. Now, obviously, some people need to get rested up because they've worked their heads off getting to that point, but realizing it's not an end in and of itself. In trying and moving toward making your life bigger, that to me is the fun stuff. That's what makes the next chapter truly fulfilling. That's the great stuff.
I think I'm saving too much money, Dennis.
Do you?
I think so. No, hardly.
Yeah. Does anyone ever feel that way?
I don't think so.
And that's why I thought this article was interesting, to take some analysis or look at it. perhaps indeed you are too far ahead on this one. And it may allow you to have some more flexibility with yourself. And in terms of a review, or, my gosh, I guess we could be more charitably inclined or whatever it might be towards family, grandkids, whatever the rest. That's an expansion to me. So, number one, we talked about the idea of inflation. Inflation-adjusted income may be overstated for you, thinking of all those costs. Number two, saving to replace current income may be a chimera.
Saving to replace
income may not be what you need to do. Generally, the proviso is replace 70 to 80% of your current income. But if you're not spending at that level and you're saving half of your income, obviously that doesn't make sense.
Right.
So you're at $100,000 between you and your spouse and you're saving 30% of it between the two of you. You probably don't need 70% basic to get there. It's dependent on what you're going to be spending and where you're at. The other side of that is ages, those who are in the age of 62 to 65 all the way up to 75 or so tend to spend more. It is a goose egg kind of a relationship there, because you're obviously going to want to travel more and be more active and perhaps fix the house or whatever it might be. So you tend to expend more in terms of the expense side of things.
Yeah. And that's when you want to do it.
Yes. And then what are your needs? Splitting that up. And what are your wants? And there were some great questions in the Retirement Lifestyle Workbook we get through Money Guide Pro that I thought might be helpful, given that we have all this time here without all the stats.
Needs versus wants.
Yes. Okay. Expectations and concerns. What do you most look forward to, I think, is a great question. What concerns you, number two? And three, or third, select what applies to you. Is it an active lifestyle? Is it a quiet lifestyle? Is it an opportunity to help others? Moving to a new home, working by choice, travel, starting a business, friends and family, less stress, peace of mind. What are important to you? And then the cost, long-term care. Money concerns, not having a paycheck, that takes a while to get used to. Usually about a year, especially for the men side of things.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, running out of money. A lot of people are concerned about that.
Yeah.
We really don't want to run out of money at the end of the gas, you know, when it's age 85 or 7 or whatever it is, right? Three, suffering investment losses. And what impact could that have on our ability to continue to stay retired? So thinking about it in terms of income, and where are we drawing that from? Is our portfolio conservative enough in some respects to have that place to draw from when the market isn't helping us? Think about it in terms of, you know, emergency funds. The number, the percentage of people, and this is from the Shaystat side,
the percentage
how long could you last? Just 29% of working Americans surveyed in the summer of 18, obviously last year, had emergency savings set aside that would allow them to survive at least 6 months without any current cash flow from a job. Mm-hmm. 27%.
I was surprised it's that high. Yeah, if it was lower, I wouldn't be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
20, yeah.
6 months of income, a pretty good sum to have set aside. And what's your comfort level? For some, it may be 3 months. 3 months is enough. But at retirement, generally, you're going to want a little bit more for that, for those expenses to carry you through, given the required minimum distributions, the Social Security income, the pension incomes, all the rest. Timing is everything. And being able to be patient in some regards, too, with a portfolio, not responding too out of hand because the market's down as it was in the last quarter of last year. That was an amazing downtrend. Something to think about.
Wouldn't it, What do you think of the idea of high school curriculum or college where they touched on some of these basics, retirement, because it's pretty much up to you now, but even that you should aim to have 6 months' savings to cover yourself and your family as you get out there in the real world. If that was something like all kids were exposed to, and some of your basic retirement knowledge, you know?
Given the responsibility shift that's occurred and how much responsibility they're going to have for their own, and it starts with their own education.
Yeah.
And thinking about how much am I spending for that and what are the benefits going to be? A degree in psychology may not be in my best interest, even though I really am interested. Well, okay, would you be able to pursue that and continue it given the cost then? You see where that conversation might go.
Yeah.
Could it benefit you with pursuing additional education so that you can use it more literally, if you will, and getting an income? Well, do you have to be that direct and, you know, practical about it? That is the other side of it. Unfortunately, because the education cost is so high, it has to be a part of the conversation, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's much more serious. I'm just thinking of how much it costs for me to go to college. It was insanely reasonable. I think it was like $3,000 a year, if my memory serves. Yeah. What was the cost per credit hour at Central? I think it was $28 when I started a credit hour. Wow. I don't know what it is today, but I know obviously it's a lot more.
Yeah.
Planning age. How long will you live in retirement is another big piece of this. With Americans living longer, it's a good idea to consider how long you think you'll live. For your age, here's a great question. How would you rate your health? Poor, good, or excellent? Well, if it's excellent, then it could be much longer. And therefore, how long do you want that money to last?
And does that make sense? Has anyone ever correctly guessed how long they would live?
I'm going to live to 94 and a half.
Right.
And I mean, everyone is afraid of that, Colleen. That is a great point. They don't want to talk about it.
What's the prize if you win?
So you try to guess, well, based on how long my parents lived or based on whether or not I've been healthy most of my life, how can you make a close to correct guess?
All I can say is the conferences that I've attended where they really hit us over the head with this, Colleen, was don't base it on your parents' life expectancies, especially if your health is different and your lifestyle is different, because that's where it may be much longer.
Because you have and then access to more medical care and
hip replacements and knee replacements and all the rest.
True. Yeah.
Yes.
So what do you do? Add 10 years?
Yes.
Is there a formula for this?
So if you're thinking seriously that it's 85, add 10 if you want to be most aggressive with it. Dear, we could be together to a 95. Singing together.
And so if you don't make it that long, at least the kids get a better inheritance, right?
Yeah, if that's the case, yes.
You planned for 95.
And for some, that is a big deal. Mm. Others would say, you've seen the bumper sticker. I'm spending my children's inheritance. Others would say that they are bound and determined, if you will, to make certain that they're passing some on to the children and especially the grandkids for their own educational expense. It's a big deal. All right. If it's that big of a deal, how are you providing for that? And what can you do about it? Well, we can save right now, okay? Or we can make certain that they get some within the trust itself, the trust that we've written. Then controlling how that might come out so that you're protecting them at the same time. And naming those beneficiaries on those retirement accounts. Who is the primary and who is the contingent? In case the primary wants to disclaim it.
Disclaim it.
Disclaim it. So the wife gets 100% of this IRA, and the grandkids are the contingents on that particular IRA just in case she feels comfortable enough when I kick the bucket to pass it on directly to the grandkids through the IRA. Well, I never heard of such a thing. You see?
Disclaimer.
And a certified disclaimer simply says, nope, I don't want the money, and I'm not going to get any benefit from it, and I want it to go to the contingent beneficiaries. You see where the planning can be, wow.
Yes.
Can be interesting planning. And helpful. So we have a phone call.
Steve is on the line. Steve in Kalkaska, Michigan. Hello, Steve.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I was stepping away from the radio for a moment. I'm back on now, but I have a question that maybe you covered it or I didn't hear it today. A beneficiary on a retirement account that I currently exist, I have two beneficiaries. One of them is an older sibling. What happens if something happens to, like I have them at a percentage, both of them at percentages?
Mm-hmm.
What happens if something happens to my older sibling before something happens to me? Does all of that secondary beneficiary get it all, or does it pass on to, like, her children?
That's a great question. So you're saying, what if she passes away before you in this instance?
Correct, and okay. She's a beneficiary.
Well, number one, if you have the presence of mind, you can change the beneficiary while you're still alive.
Okay.
All right? Anytime you want. And number two, if you don't, if it's stated as per capita, that would mean that the other beneficiary would get her portion if she's passed away before you in this instance.
So per capita.
Would mean that the other beneficiary would get 100%.
Something happens both at the same time. Or, you know, I don't want to say that, but
yes,
my point.
That's right. If something were to happen to you both, you want to make certain, do you want her children to get her portion if something should happen to her and you at the same time?
Okay, yeah, yes.
And then you'd name it per, it's called the term is per stirpes. It's a Latin term. Uh-huh. P is two words, P-E-R, S-T is in Tom, I-R-P-E-S. And the form should have some forms actually have a box where you can check per stirpes, okay?
Okay, very good.
But Steve is one of the beneficiaries. He can change the form?
No, Steve is the owner of the IRA.
Oh, he's the owner, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Steve, you are the owner of the IRA, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah. I see. So he can make the change. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, Steve, thanks for listening. Thanks for the call here on New Retirement Radio.
Thank you for the clarification, Ron. That's great.
Yeah.
You see how confusing this should be. This can be, number one. Number two, do not do this as a result of a radio conversation you heard with a financial advisor. Sit with someone and talk about it, mm-hmm. The implications of it. It's amazing how serious it can be. How beneficial it can be to those that might follow you.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.